This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? How was your week? إسماعيل, how was your week?
Eight to half past ten.
Load shedding. Okay, load shedding is 8 to half past 10. جزاك الله خير. الحمد لله. It is the 27th of Rajab, and we ask Allah to Sha'ban. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to achieve Ramadan. I mean, and that that you know, this is a very special Miraj is always a special kind of occasion for me. I think the first lecture I gave at Burano, I don't know, 12 maybe years ago, was Miraj. So. And it's difficult. I mean, if I look at it, what more can we talk about, subhanAllah? We've spoken about the events, we spoke about Salah, we spoke about so many things. But I think the one that is perhaps my favorite, I don't know if it's your favorite, is to actually go through the journey from the Nabi Sallam as he traveled through the heavens, and to look at and remind ourselves the vastness of the universe, and the vastness of the creation, and it can only begin to, not even imagine, but to understand, comprehend the power of the Creator. To understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majesty. When we look at the universe compared to us, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْكِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That really, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and the alteration of the night and the day, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ. It is a sign for the people of understanding, those who الذين يذكرون الله, those who remember Allah, قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم, those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying down, ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض, and you ponder deeply. Allah wants you to think about the universe. Allah wants you to, when you go, as Allah says, even when you're laying down at night and you think, what's out there? How big is this universe? Allah wants you to think about this. You should then say, and inshallah at the end of this lecture, the thing Allah wants you to say is, رَبَّنَا أَوَ لُوْدْ مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. All of this did not come by chance and by luck without a creator and a designer. All of this must have a reason and a purpose and a design. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So all praise be to Allah, protect us from the fire of Jahannam. In this series and in the Mi'raj, the Nabi ﷺ would explore and get to see of the greatest, Allah says, مِنْ آيَاتِ الْكُبْرَى. He would see of the greatest of Allah's creation. He would see and travel through all of existence to the very edge where no other creature had gone before, and kept going. And on the way, he saw so many amazing things which we'll talk about tonight, inshallah. He even got to see inside of Jannah and inside of Jahannam. And perhaps we won't have time for that, but inshallah, we will talk about that when we get there. So let us start, if we were to go on the journey. And not that we want to be, but maybe it's good if we can dim the lights for this one. Can we? This is the most visually important lecture. The others, alhamdulillah, those are not as intriguing. It is Friday night after all. Okay. So, if we were to start this journey, we know the Nabi Sallam took two journeys, the Isra and the Mi'raj. By now we all know this. The Isra is the night journey, and Isra is a journey by night. And the Nabi Sallam took the Isra from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. We know that the Nabi Sallam says one night he was woken up by Jibreel, and Jibreel took him to the Haram, to the Kaaba, and they made Salah together. And then they saw, this Nabi Sallam saw this creature, a little bit bigger than a donkey, a little bit smaller than a horse. It's called a Buraq. He doesn't have wings. The Buraq doesn't have wings. I know in mythology, even in this picture, sometimes you see Buraq has wings. He doesn't have wings. He's just a very, very fast creature. And so the Nabi Sallam and Jibreel climbed on the Buraq, and he ran all the way to Palestine, Jerusalem, where the Nabi Sallam performed and he led the Salah with all the Anbiya, One saf, as far as the eye could see, all the anbiya stood behind him. And the symbolism here is that you are Khatam al-Anbiya. You are the seal and the final and the leader, Sayyid Walid al-Adam. And something amazing is going to happen for you. Last night, we did a lecture, Islam from Scratch, it's online. And we said it's important to understand how amazing the Isra and the Mi'raj is to look at what happened just before. The Nabi Sallam comes through the worst time of his life. He mentions this year, the Amul Khuzn, the year of sadness, is the lowest rock bottom place in his life. And in his hardship, he turns to Allah. And so Allah gives him this great gift. So anyone going through difficulty, in your difficulty, in your sorrow, in your sickness, in your poverty, it is a tool, it's a step that you can get closer to Allah that you could not get. And so because of that, Allah gave him this great honor. First honor, Allah takes him to Palestine, Masjid Al-Aqsa. Then Allah shows him that you are the Imam of all the Anbiya. He made Salah. And when he looked, all the Anbiya were behind him, and he was the Imam. They came in spirit for all their bodies. They were reanimated. Allah alam. This is the way Allah, beyond our understanding. That is the Isra. Now, Jibreel says to the Nabi Sallam, now we're going to take a journey. It's called the Mi'raj. The Mi'raj, in fact, the word Mi'raj is literally, it's called a lift, an elevator. An elevator is called a Mi'raj. In the Quran, there's a surah Ma'arij. Min Allahi dhil Ma'arij. Allah says, to Allah belongs the Ma'arij, the Mi'rajas, the lifts. So through the heavens, there are shortcuts, tunnels, which only like high-speed highways that goes through the heavens. And Allah says, He controls these things. No one can get on it. And so Allah had brought a Mi'raj of some way to the Nabi Sallam, and Jibreel and the Nabi Sallam got on this Mi'raj, and they started to ascend. They started to go higher and higher and higher. So tonight, inshallah, we take this journey. If we were to be, Allah brought us a Mi'raj, a lift, and we were taken up, what would we see along the way? So let's start. If we were here at Masjid Burhan, alhamdulillah, and we'd see outside, alhamdulillah, our minaret, the first minaret in South Africa, and mashallah, it's a nice big minaret. But then we start going higher and higher. And we look at the biggest building in the world. I did this lecture, I think, in 2015. Still the biggest building in the world is the Burj Khalifa. The tallest building in the world is in Dubai. It's called the Burj Khalifa. How tall is it? It's about the height of Table Mountain. So for those of you who haven't been there, it's about as tall as Table Mountain, 800 meters. But that's nothing compared to the tallest mountain in the world. So there's the Burj Khalifa towering above the rest. Compare that to Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, which is, what's the tallest mountain in the world? Tallest mountain in the world? Mount Everest. It's wrong. It's actually a taller mountain in the ocean, in the sea. But this one is on land. The tallest mountain on land is Mount Everest. So compare Mount Everest. Yeah, that's in the mount. Yeah. Compare Mount Everest to the Burj Khalifa. Mount Everest is about 10 kilometers up. That's how high. So if you were to add 10 Burj Khalifas, one on top of the other, 10 Table Mountains, then you get to Mount Everest. But that's also not the highest point. If you stand on Mount Everest, you might think I'm very close to the end of the sky. But that's still very low down. On the next slide, you'll see how high the sky goes. Mount Everest is about the height that planes fly. So if any of you have been on an international flight, that's how high a plane is. SubhanAllah, how high Mount Everest is, that's how high planes go. But there's so many more kilometers up before you reach the end of our planet. Our planet has so many layers of sky. If Mount Everest is 10 kilometers up, you need to go another 100 kilometers before you become an astronaut. Another 100 kilometers up and up and up before you become an astronaut and you begin to leave our planet. So for all of you, you know, we live on a planet called Earth. It's a rock with space around it, with air around it, a nice bubble that Allah had created, and this is Earth. And if you, and Allah alam, if any of us will have that opportunity, if you ever got the chance to fly all the way outside of the earth, and you were able to stand outside of the earth, and you look back, this is what you would see. A ball with continents and water, and 8 billion people living across it. Most of it, if you look, for example, at Africa, at night, no, not because it has ESCOM, but if you had at night, you'd see how little light there is. Look how little light there is in Africa, for example. Only the spots where there's lights are where people live. The rest of it is basically empty. Most of this planet is empty, and or the land, let alone the 75%, which is ocean and water. And so this is our planet Earth. What a wonderful place. All 8 billion people of us, the wars we fight, the money that we argue about, all the sadness, happiness is in this little tiny spot. everything. And alhamdulillah, we realize that as we begin to look outside, we're not alone in the universe. Our planet, our home, the earth, is surrounded by other objects, other planets. And so we are in a little apartment, a little network, a little building of fellow planets, and we call this thing the solar system. I'll teach you a bit of astronomy here. So this little area that we live in is called the solar system. Have any of you, this is the first time you hear about a solar system, you know that thing that you see outside in the day, that bright thing that's called the sun? Okay, that's the sun. All right. The sun is a star. And when you look outside at night, you'll see so many stars in the sky. Each one of them is like the sun. And the way the universe is structured, the way Allah had created the universe, is that you have stars, massive big stars, and around it you have tiny little planets which rotate or revolve around the sun. Almost they make a tawaf around the sun. Allah alam is the symbolic of the tawaf that the angels make around the arsh of Allah, is the symbolic about our tawaf around the Kaaba. Everything revolves around a center. And so if you compare our planet to our neighboring planets, our neighbors, and our star, you will see that we are quite small. So if you, in our neighborhood, Earth has much bigger neighbors. We are the tiny building. So if we are in a street, imagine this was like a crescent, solar system crescent. Then you look at the different houses. Earth is the small house compared to the other mansions on the road. Jupiter is the biggest planet. Neptune, Saturn. Earth is smaller than Uranus, yes. I had to say that, right? And the sun, of course, the sun is the biggest object in the solar system. The sun, the star, is the biggest object in the solar system. And this, subhanAllah, something for you to also imagine. The sun that gives you light, the sun that gives us warmth, it gives out energy. And that energy is captured by the plants around us. Those plants make fruit, vegetables, or animals eat it. Then you eat the fruit or the animals, and your body breaks that food down back into energy, that energy which came from the star. Every time you eat something, you're eating a piece of the sun. SubhanAllah. This is how Allah had given and fed us from this massive star, this ball of fire. Every time you eat something, you drink something, it is actually that star, that energy that you are eating and you're consuming. So how big is the earth? We talk about size now. How big is the earth compared to our neighbors, compared to the sun? The biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. And you can fit 100 earths inside Jupiter. But Jupiter is very small compared to our star, the sun. I know in the day it looks like a little ball, but if you were to come close to it, it is 1 million times the size of the earth. Imagine if the sun was a bucket, you could pour 1 million earths, 1 million of you, 1 million South Africans, 1 million of your wives, subhanAllah, all in that bucket, and that is the sun. So the sun is pretty big. You agree with me? The sun is big. And if you, as I mentioned, when you look out at night at the stars in the sky, if you were to, inshallah, go to a place where there wasn't any lights, maybe a night when there's load shedding and you look up in the sky and you see all the stars in the sky, those little twinkle, twinkle dots, they are all like the sun. Millions and millions of earths can fit into each one of those little dots. So now, if you were given a spaceship and you now stood outside the earth and you looked at the sun, you'd wonder, well, what is beyond the sun? What else is out there? What are the stars around us? And our closest star, our closest neighbor, is called Alpha Centauri. That's the closest star to the sun. And I want you to imagine, stars are like little houses in a city. So our sun, if our sun was an apartment block, the building next door is called Alpha Centauri. How long will it take you to go from here to our neighbor, just next door? How long does it take for us to go from the sun to Alpha Centauri? The two stars are right next to one another, they're sitting next to each other. How long does it take? Well, the fastest thing that we know, the fastest thing in the universe is light. Light, that's why I say the speed of light. Light travels faster than anything else. Nothing goes faster than light. And how fast does light go? Light travels at 300,000 kilometers in 1 second. 1 second, 300,000 kilometers. Let's put into perspective how fast is that. Let's say, more or less, plus minus, it's 1,000 kilometers between Cape Town and Joburg, plus minus. So light, in 1 second, it goes to Joburg and back, 150,000 times. In 1 second, 150,000 times, it's jumping back and forth. In 1 second, light goes around the earth 8 times, the whole earth in eight times in 1 second. That's how fast light is. So if you were in a spaceship that traveled at the speed of light, and you wanted to go from the sun to Alpha Centauri, how long would it take you? It's just your neighbor. How long would it take? It will still take you 5 years. 5 years to go from here, just next door, at the fastest speed in the universe. So you begin to understand when we call it space. There's a lot of space. That's why they call it space. There's a lot of space. And how big the distances are. So Alpha Centauri, and there is the, subhanAllah, that big number down there, 9.5 trillion kilometers, is the distance that light travels in 1 year. You must multiply that by 5 to go from Earth, from the sun, to Alpha Centauri. SubhanAllah. That's the gap between us and there. Now, when you say, hold on, but if I look out in the sky, I see one star, Alpha Centauri, but then I see another star and another star. How many of these stars are out there? If I wanted to visit all of them, how many stars are out there? And how big do these stars get? Is the sun, we know it takes 1 million Earths to fit in the sun. How many other stars and how big are they? When I did this presentation a few years ago, the biggest star that we discovered, was called VY Canis Majoris. If we go to the next slide. The sun compared to this star, the sun, 1 million Earths compared to VY Canis Majoris. Look at the sun, it's one dot compared to this massive star. And that's no longer the king. There were two stars even bigger than that that has been discovered in the last 2 years. If we go to the next slide. So, if these stars, as I said, if these stars were buildings, and each of the buildings were side by side, the city of stars is called a galaxy. All the stars, they live together in a city, they call the galaxy. The sun is one star. Next to it is Alpha Centauri. Next to it is VY Canis Majoris, the biggest star that we've discovered, Stevenson 218, next to each other. And in our city, I know your mind stops working a long time. Some of you have stopped working a long time ago. And remember that feeling, like I can't keep track of the numbers. We're going to get to an ayah in Surah Tabarak that you all know, when Allah says, فَانْقَلِبُوا إِلَىٰ بَصْرِي يَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُوا إِلَيْهِ خَاسِرًا وَهُوَ خَسِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَرْجِي الْبَصْرَ قَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبُوا إِلَيْكَ الْبَصْرُ خَاسِرًا وَهُوَ خَسِيرٌ. Allah says, when you look at the sky, Allah says, look and look and look and keep looking, eventually you will stop looking, look at the sky, fatigued, tired, exhausted. Your mind cannot work anymore. The universe is too big for your brain to understand. Allah, this is how Allah describes. As you get lost in the numbers, it becomes too big to understand. That's how Allah describes the universe. So getting back to our stars. The universe is made up of stars. And these stars live together in a little city called a galaxy. So what galaxy do we live in? The Milky Way. So if you wrote a letter to a friend in another galaxy, you say, this is me, Ahmad, from Bukab, Western Cape, South Africa, Earth, solar system, galaxy, Milky Way. And you write to your friend in the other galaxy, right? So our galaxy is the Milky Way. How many stars, how many suns are in this galaxy? How many stars? 300 billion, with a B. 300 billion suns, 300 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. 300 billion of the sun. that can fit 1 million Earths in it, in our galaxy. How big is this galaxy? So if you were, again, in your spaceship, if you were in your spaceship, remember I said it will take you how long to go from the sun to the neighboring star? 5 years. Now you said, okay, fine. I live on the one side of the galaxy. My granny lives on the other side of the galaxy. How long will it take with my spaceship to get there from one side of the city to the other side of the city? It will take you 100,000 years at the speed of light. 100,000 years. It takes light to go from one side of the galaxy to the other side of the galaxy. Then we keep looking further and we realize, hold on, our galaxy, our town is just one of many, many other galaxies out there. In fact, if we were living in a city, if the Milky Way was a city, was a town, was a dorpi, the dorp next door is called Andromeda. It's even bigger than us. We have 300 billion stars. Andromeda has 1 trillion stars, 1,000 billion stars. We are tiny compared to our neighbor. And to get there, to get from our galaxy to the galaxy next door, to go from the Milky Way to Andromeda, it would take you 2.5 million years at the speed of light. So you know, subhanAllah, if we didn't have light pollution, you could see Andromeda with your naked eye. You could see Andromeda in the sky. And what that means is, when you're looking at it, you're looking at light that traveled 2.5 million years to get to your eye. What you are seeing is the past, 2.5 million years ago, traveling to get to you. So now, again to recap, you have the earth, mashallah. The earth can fit how many earths in the sun? 1 million. How many suns are there in the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy? 300 billion. And then you have next to the Milky Way galaxy, Andromeda, with 1 trillion suns or stars. What's your next question? How many galaxies are there? How many of these galaxies, how many of these cities of stars are out there? And what is the biggest one of all? Well, the biggest one that we have discovered, and every day we discover more, is called IC 1011. That's the name of the galaxy. When the scientists don't have any more fancy names, you know, Milky Way, Andromeda, they found so many, they stopped becoming exciting. Just call it, give it a number, because they lost names to give these things. This galaxy is 100 times bigger than Andromeda. It had to get there from us to get to IC 1011, 350 million years. 350 million years speed of light to get there. So compare the size. In the next slide, you can compare the size. The Milky Way galaxy is that dot over there with the sun, the moon, 300 billion stars in it. Compare the Milky Way to IC 1011. Hey? Our galaxy, and that galaxy you see there, the Milky Way, all the stars in the sky that you see is just in the Milky Way. It's just a piece of the Milky Way. If you counted all the stars in the sky at night, it's only a small 10% of the whole Milky Way galaxy. And that galaxy is tiny, is a baby, compared to IC 1011. So now you begin to understand how big is this universe. How many galaxies, how many stars? So inshallah, let's play a video. Before the video. This, mashallah, is mind-blowing. This should be like your background on your phone or something. So, we took the most advanced telescope is outside of the Earth. It used to be the Hubble telescope, and now it's called, subhanAllah, reminds me, what's the new telescope called? James Webb. The James Webb telescope, right? The James Webb telescope. It's the most advanced telescope. It's not on Earth, it's floating in space taking pictures. And so, when the Hubble telescope took one of its first pictures, this is one of the first pictures of the Hubble telescope, it looked out into an empty part of space, an empty distant part. It took a picture, and when it came back, the scientists saw all these dots. And they thought, these are stars. When they look deeper, that's not stars. Those are galaxies of stars. Every one of those dots has billions, trillions of stars inside it. every one of those dots has billions of suns inside of it, with the planets inside of them. Subhanallah. And that's just one patch of sky, 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter. Now you take a patch next to it, more galaxies and more galaxies. So how big is this universe, subhanallah? How big is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's play a video, inshallah. So this thing, this video will show size, scale. We start from, these are little moons and rocks out there in space. Pluto used to be a planet, it's not a planet anymore. Europa is a moon of Saturn, I think. Jupiter, yes. The moon, we all know the moon. Mercury is a planet. Titan is a moon of Saturn. Mars is bigger than us, not yet bigger than us, our size. Venus. And then we get to the Earth, because that's where you live. Kepler is a planet outside of our solar system. Then we get Neptune. And your planet, Uranus. Saturn with those rings. And then Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system. And now we compare planets to stars. That's what Jupiter is compared to the sun. Look how small we are. But the sun is a baby compared to other planets. Sirius A, Allah mentions in the Quran, Shu'ara. The Pollux star. Actaris, Sagittarius A. And these stars keep getting bigger and bigger. Pistol star, Antares, VY Canis Majoris, that was the guy that we spoke about. There's a bigger star than that, UY Scuti, and even bigger, Stevenson 218. And if we keep going out, further out, that's a black hole, yes. That's a supermassive black hole. And that's the biggest black hole, Ton 618. But those things are all small compared to galaxies. Nebula is a gas. A cloud. Can you see the horse? It looks like a horse. So this is a baby galaxy. All those dots are stars. And that's our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Andromeda, our neighbor. But if you compare those galaxies to IC 1101, and you keep going, these are now clusters of galaxies. And those galaxies form another structure. And if you keep going, eventually to the edge of the universe. This is as far as we know. Obey that we can stop over there. So this is as far as we have discovered. And the more and the bigger our telescopes and the more advanced our technology is, the more we see deeper and deeper, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. To make you understand how big the universe is, I just want you to think about this. All the sand on earth, the grains of sand on earth, there are more stars in space, like the sun, than there are grains of sand on earth. Subhanallah. And those stars, as we said, is a million times bigger than the sun, than the earth. Filled with so many things of energy and power. Now, what's very, very scary, not scary, but it's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the sama banayna bi'aydin, and we are expanding it. The sama wa inna lahu la musi'un. Allah says about the heavens that we spread out the earth and we made it flat and made it round and for us to live in. But as for the heavens, we expanded it and we continuously making it bigger and bigger. This is, of course, that this ayah, the Arabic is incorrect there. The ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the universe is getting bigger. This is the ayah, this verse, as you know, you should know, Hubble, the scientist, won a Nobel Prize for discovering this, that the universe is getting bigger. And so Allah mentions in the Quran that the universe that we see, if you were to look at it in Surah Tabarak, Allah says, ثُمَّ رَجِعِ الْبَصَرَ قَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبَ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرَ خَاسِئًا وَخَسِيرًا. That if you were to look at the heavens and you were to study it and you use your telescope, eventually you would lose track of time, you'd lose track of everything, you couldn't calculate anymore. The universe is too big for your brain to understand, and you will begin to look humbled and fatigued. The words are beautiful, that you will become tired, exhausted, and you would become humbled at the bigness of the universe. Now, we shift from astronomy to theology, to religion. All this is part of religion. But this is as far as science can tell you. Science can only tell you what we see. It can't tell you what is beyond what we can see and why it's there. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. Allah says that I've placed stars in the sama of the dunya, in the lowest sama, in the smallest sama. And yet, how many samawat are there? سَبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا. They are what we know of, seven universes stacked one on the other. And we are in sama ad-dunya, the smallest sama. The Sahaba asked the Nabi Sallam, this sama, this universe that we know, all the stars, all the planets, everything that we have is the sama ad-dunya. How big is our universe compared to the sama next door? So the Nabi Sallam says, the likeness of our realm, our sama, to the one next door is like a man who took a ring and he threw it in the desert, where our universe is the ring and the desert is the next sama. And you have seven of these, one on top of the other. And so when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam traveled on the Isra and the Mi'raj, when he traveled on the Mi'raj, he was taken through the seven heavens. He was taken through the seven heavens. And he used, as Allah says, مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Allah says, to Allah belongs these special elevators that go up and down the heavens. The angels and Jibreel, they use these lifts. The angels don't fly with their wings. They can't fly. It's too big. They need to take these shortcuts, these super highways. And even them, it takes خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Just to go from one place to another, at least 50,000 years for Jibreel to travel from one side to the next. Yet the Nabi Sallam was taken on a very, very super fast journey that no one else was able to take before him, and he traveled through the samawat. And this is what from the Mi'raj that we know, the story of the Mi'raj, where the Nabi Sallam mentions him and Jibreel were traveling up through the earth, higher and higher, past all the planets, all the stars, all these amazing things that you saw, and eventually he got to the edge of the universe. There's a boundary, there's a place where the universe stops. And when he got to that edge, there was a checkpoint, an immigration, customs. And there were angels that asked Jibreel, who is with you? And so Jibreel said, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the angels asked Jibreel, does he have permission? Does he have a visa to come here? And Jibreel said, yes, he does. And so the angels opened the door of the samawat. Allah says that the samawat have doors. You can't just cross over. So they opened the door and they greeted the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, Ahlan, welcome. And we are honored. They said, we are honored to meet you. What an amazing honor to have you here visiting us. And at this low, this boundary between our world and the next Sama, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met our father, Nabi Adam. Now our father, Nabi Adam, doesn't live there, but he was placed there by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Nabi Adam greeted Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, welcome, O blessed son and Nabi. And they spoke, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to leave because his journey continues. So he first met Nabi Adam at the lowest Sama. Not that Nabi Adam lives there, but he was placed there to meet him. And perhaps one of the reasons, the first Nabi that you're going to meet is of course your father, Nabi Adam. Then he went to the second Sama. And again, as he traveled through, we don't know what he saw in the second Sama. But at the edge between that Sama and the second Sama, at the Kasa, once again, he met angels. And they said, do you have a permission? And Jibreel said, yes. And the doors were opened. And when the doors were opened, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met Nabi Isa and Nabi Yahya. And they were cousins. And they spoke. And very interestingly, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked every Nabi, do you have some advice, some information for my ummah? And Nabi Isa said something very interesting. He said, I don't know anything more than you know, except that I need to come back to the earth to fight Dajjal. The time of Dajjal is close, and I need to return to the earth. And we know that's a story for another time, the events of Qiyamah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then left, and he goes to the next Sama, and he meets a very beautiful man. And that, of course, is Nabi Yusuf, the beautiful, handsome Nabi Yusuf in the third Sama. And he moves up to the fourth Sama, he meets Nabi Idris. And in the fifth Sama, Nabi Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Nabi Musa. In the sixth Sama, he meets Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the man who's mentioned the most in the Quran. And he describes Nabi Musa as being a very tall, thin, strong, dark of complexion man, very tall man. And Nabi Musa, as we know in the Quran, his personality is very, very direct. He's not very diplomatic. He says what he feels. And he says, after greeting the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, welcome my fellow brother. And then he says, how is it that this young man, this young lad basically, will have a bigger ummah than mine? Up until this point, Nabi Musa, the Bani Israel, were the biggest and the most favored people. And now he knows, he realizes that the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be the biggest ummah that will enter Jannah. And Nabi Musa makes this claim that my ummah will be eclipsed by your ummah. And so then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes further into Sama number 7, the last Sama, the highest Sama, and he meets none other than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ibrahim. And in Sama number 7, we know the Nabi Sallam saw a few things. We don't know what he saw in 3, 4, 5, but in number 7, he gave us some descriptions of what he saw. The first thing, of course, is he met Nabi Ibrahim. And Nabi Ibrahim, again, to his personality, and each of the Anbiya are different. Nabi Ibrahim is a very laid-back, chilled, relaxed kind of person. And he meets Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam relaxing against a place called Bayt al-Ma'mur, a masjid. He's like reclining, sleeping in this masjid. What is Bayt al-Ma'mur? Allah describes Bayt al-Ma'mur in the Quran that Bayt al-Ma'mur, it means the house that has a lot of visitors. What is this? This is the haram of the angels. This is the Makkah of the angels. The angels come and they make salah, hajj, umrah in this haram. Now there are billions and trillions of angels. And because there are so many of them, the angels can only attend one day in their life. Jibreel lives for millions of years. But he could only attend Bayt al-Ma'mur once and you can never come again. And I always tease, they also have a sawuk there. They also have a list. And you can only go once, you can't come again. And so the angels also have a limit. There's a quota system also for the angels. And so this Bayt al-Ma'mur, the angels, Jibreel and them, they only have access for one day. But yet, we find Nabi Ibrahim relaxing as if though he's got all the time in the world. He has an unlimited visa to come and go to Bayt al-Ma'mur. Why? Because he built the haram on earth. And so Allah rewards him that you may attend Bayt al-Ma'mur as much as you want. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this masjid, Bayt al-Ma'mur, in a way which we can't understand, but it is directly parallel, of vertically aligned with the Kaaba on the earth. So much so that if the Bayt al-Ma'mur were to collapse, it will fall directly on top of the Kaaba. So every realm, every planet, every part of the universe has a special place dedicated for the worship of Allah. All of this in creation, it's not there for fun. It is there to worship and glorify Allah. And so the Bayt al-Ma'mur is the most sacred place in the seventh heaven, where the angels come to make ziyarah. The Nabi also, at this point, he met many angels and he met many anbiya. And each time he met someone, those people were happy to see him. They hugged him, they kissed him, they shook his hand, and they were so, "We're so honored to meet you." And then he meets a man that doesn't smile at all. Shakes the Nabi Sallam. Jibreel says to the Nabi Sallam, "That man over there, or that personality over there, is Malik. Go and shake his hand." And so the Nabi Sallam goes towards Malik. Malik, assalamu alaikum. No emotion, no smiling. And so the Prophet says to Jibreel, "What's up with this guy? Why is he like so sour? Why is he like you know, he's upsetting me?" And so the Jibreel says, "This is Malik." And who is Malik? In the Quran, Allah says, "Wanadaw ya Malik." The people will call out, "Oh Malik, la yaqdi alayna rabbuka." Ask Allah to end us. Malik, oh, ask Allah to end us. Qala innakum makithun. He says, "No, you will stay here forever." Who's Malik? The guardian of Jahannam. Malik is the warden of Jahannam. His job is to torture and punish him. Allah grant us never to meet him. Ameen. So Jibreel says, "This is Malik, the keeper of Jahannam, and he's not able to smile. He doesn't have the ability to smile and to be polite and to be soft. Allah did not create him with any softness in his heart. But if he could, he would have definitely smiled for you. He would. This is his happy face." You know, where's his happy face? This is his happy face. He then, the Nabi Sallam, met Malik, and also at this point, the more detailed discussion of the Isra and the Mi'raj, he got to see a little bit of what's inside of Jahannam, some of the punishments and the people inside of Jahannam. And he got to see what's inside of Jannah. But that's for another time. So the Nabi Sallam, Jibreel said, "The journey doesn't stop here. We need to keep going. We can go higher and higher and higher." And so they kept going up past Baytul Ma'mur, through the seventh heaven. Now you get to a point, as Allah said, there are seven samawat. What is beyond sama number seven? What is beyond that? Just before they got to the end of sama number seven, Jibreel transformed into his true body, his true form. This entire journey, Jibreel was like a man. He looked like a man. He didn't have his true angelic form. And so when he got to a certain level, he got out of his human costume, his design, and he went into his complete angel form. And Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ saw, "Innahu in huwa illa wahyun yuha," that the revelation that comes to Nabi Sallam is a wahi. "Allamahu shadidul quwa," it comes from an angel who is extremely powerful and mighty. "Dhu mirwatin fastawa," and he is of perfect creation. That he saw in the Sidratil Muntaha. The Nabi Sallam saw this angel at Sidratil Muntaha. Okay, so what is this ayah talking about? As they went up, they got to a point where there was a huge tree. The final tree. So if you imagine the universe, it's like one brick or block stacked on top of the other. And on the last brick, right on top, there's a tree. This tree is called Sidratil Muntaha. The Sidra, Muntaha meaning the end. You cannot go beyond that. So Jibreel goes into his angel form. And when they get to Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel basically says, "This is as far as I can go." Allah says, "Inda Sidratul Muntaha, indaha Jannatul Ma'wa." Very close to Sidratul Muntaha is where Jannah is. The Jannah that we all hope to go is close to Sidratul Muntaha. May Allah grant us to enter Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. And so, at this tree, we know on the one side close to it is Jannah, but you can keep going further. But just something about Jannah. There's a difference between the seven samawat and the Jannah. Jannah is, the word Jannah means the garden. Jannah is outside of all of this, subhanAllah. So in this creation of seven samawat, there are creations, there are universes, multiverses outside of this. Jannah is outside of these creations. And so, just to understand how big Jannah is, Allah says, the hadith says, in Jannah, there is 100 levels that Allah has prepared just for the mujahideen. Between each one is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. This entire journey is the gap between one Jannah, one garden, and another garden. Whoever gets to Jannah, who lives there, between one garden and the next, is like all of this creation put in it. That's why you cannot understand. That's why in Jannah you will have all the time in the world, but you won't be able to explore all of Jannah. Even though you would live for eternity, it is bigger than time. And so the Nabi Sallam kept going. He passed the Sidratul Muntaha. When the Sahaba asked, "What did you see at Sidratul Muntaha?" As Allah mentions in the Quran, "Idh yakhsha sidrata ma yakhsha," when the tree got covered and changed as it changed. Allah didn't explain in detail. And the Prophet says there are butterflies and lights that come out of this tree, and that there are beautiful changing of shapes and colors, so much that I could not understand what I saw. My mind could not understand what I saw. But this tree is at the end of all of creation. Beyond that, nothing has gone before. And so when the Prophet ﷺ got to the point of the tree, the highest point of the tree, Jibreel said, "O Muhammad ﷺ, this is as far as I go. I do not have permission to go beyond this boundary. The tree is where I stop. But you are the first to have permission to go further up. No creature has gone higher than Sidratul Muntaha, and you have permission to go up." And so the Nabi Sallam, he now ascended even higher. And as he passed over into the realm outside of the seventh Samawat, he mentions he heard writing. He heard writing. What is this writing? The Qalam, the pen of destiny. Remember, the first thing Allah created was the pen that keeps writing what everyone is going to get of rizq, who's going to live, who's going to die. He could hear the pen above creation writing all of what's going to happen in the future. And as he kept going up, he reached the boundary of the Kursi. What is the Kursi? The Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa al hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa fil ard, man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhni, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa khalfihim وَسِيَا كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَعُودُ حِفْظُ مَا هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Kursi, the kursi is what? What's the kursi? Not a chair, not a throne, it's a footstool. The footstool. The kursi, Allah says in Ayatul Kursi, all of creation is underneath the kursi. Everything of creation is beneath the footstool of Allah. Now, Allah does not sit on chairs, and He does not recline His feet on chairs. But like a king has a throne, just, you know, in the fairy tales, you've got the king sitting on a throne, but he doesn't put his feet on the floor. He puts like a little chair, like a little ornament. That thing is a kursi. So Allah says, my kursi, everything of creation is underneath the kursi. And so the Nabi Sallam reaches the kursi of, not the arsh, it's not the throne, the kursi, all of creation, all the angels, all the samawat, all the stars, all the heavens, is beneath where Allah would have put His feet if He needed a kursi, but He doesn't need a kursi. And so, the Prophet ﷺ continued to go even above the kursi. What is above the kursi? What's higher than the kursi? Not yet the arsh. Before we get to the throne of Allah, Allah says, "Inna rabbukum alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard fi sittati ayyam." Allah says, "I created all of creation in 6 days. Thumma istawa 'ala al-arsh." Then I ascended the throne. Yudabbiru al-amr, from the throne on which all creation, I administer the affairs of the universe. مَا مِن شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ إِذْنِي. Nothing can come to Allah. None can speak to Allah. None can approach Allah except with His permission. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوا. And so this is Allah. So you should worship Him alone. And He mentions, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And He says, and my throne is on water. So, if you can understand now, you've got the seven samawat like bricks stacked upon the other. The highest sama has this tree called Sidratul Muntaha. Above the tree, you get this kursi over it. Above the kursi is an ocean of water, an endless ocean of water. From this ocean, all of life comes. Allah says, all of life comes from water, from this ocean upon which the arsh of Allah is standing. All of life emanates from it. And then above this ocean of water is the throne of Allah, the arsh of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sit on the arsh, but He is above the throne. He is above His creation. And the greatest of all angels on the day of Qiyamah will bring the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah in a place where there is no mountains or anything else. And that's why we know the very famous hadith, it will be the shade of the arsh that will be the only thing which we would stand under. And so the Nabi Sallam ascended and went above the arsh even. And for the first time in the history of all of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of His creatures was able to come as close as possible to Him. And between Allah and the Nabi Sallam was a curtain of light. When the Nabi Sallam returned, they asked, the Sahaba asked the Nabi Sallam, "Did you see your Lord? Did you see Allah?" So he said, "I could not see him. His hijab between me and Allah was a barrier of light. But Allah spoke to him." And we don't know what exactly everything Allah spoke to the Nabi Sallam. That is private. But the thing that was important for us was what? We all know, Salah. Allah instructed the Nabi Sallam, "Tell your people that they need to worship me 50 times a day. 50 salahs a day." We all know the story. And the Nabi Sallam just said, "Yes, ya Allah, 50 times, no problem." And so then he came back down, past the arsh, past the ocean, past the kursi, past the muntaha, he met Jibreel again, and they went down past Baytul Ma'mur, past Nabi Ibrahim, met Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa said, stop, come here. What did you and Allah speak about? What did you speak about to Allah? The other Anbiya don't ask this question. And we know the Nabi said, "I spoke to Allah and he commanded me to make salah 50 times a day." So Nabi Musa says, "No way, your people are not going to do 50 times. My people, I know, trust me, been there, done that. Go back to Allah and tell him it's too much." Subhanallah. And this is because Nabi Musa had a very personal relationship with Allah. He would speak and Allah would respond to him. And so the Nabi Sallam looks at Jibreel like, "Can I do that? Can I go back to Allah and ask him?" And Jibreel said, "Yes." And he agrees. Nabi Musa said, "Right, I think you need to go back. 50 is too much for your people. Trust me, these guys can't do it." And so the Nabi Sallam goes back up. And he goes, and every time we know, up and down, 5 times, less. Until eventually it's from 50 to 5. And then Nabi Musa still says, 5 is too much, man. It's Fajr. This guy's not going to wake up for Fajr. Isha is late. Go ask Allah for less. Make it less. And then Nabi said, "No, I'm too shy to ask Allah for less. I'm okay with 5. And Allah then said to Jibreel, then the three of them heard a voice, and this is the voice of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "This is now the agreement between you have now, you are happy, O Muhammad Sallam. This is between me and your ummah, that you will have 5 daily salawat, but the reward of 50 will remain. Each one will be multiplied now. The reward is 50, but the deed is only 5. And so the Nabi Sallam returned with the gift of salah, and eventually we know that he said it was if though he slept. Now, the whole purpose of the Isra, there's so many things we can take from it. One, the magnificence of the creation, and the majesty of the Creator, and the gift and the honor of Nabi Sallam, to really show who he is. Who the Prophet Sallam, he's a man. We don't worship the Nabi Sallam, but surely he's a creation unlike any other creation, the best of Allah's creations. But to us, we are also part of the story. We got the gift of Salah. Now, all of you, all of us, myself included, may ask, if you were given the chance to go on this journey, would you take it? A free ticket. You know, like you would say, a world tour ticket. You say, "I'll take it." You have a Samawa ticket. You say, "Yes." You don't need to get in the Isra and the Mi'raj to get there. Allahu Akbar. And you're directly in the presence of Allah. What the Salah is Allah has given each and every one of us a direct line to Allah. The majesty, the Lord of all of creation. We can just raise our hands in Salah and we can speak to him. We can tell him about our problems, our sadness, our desires, what we want, what we need. The one who controls and creates all of this universe under him. You can, every single person, no matter how young, old, who you are, where you are in the world, you just raise your hands in takbir and you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a gift that we don't know if any other creature or any other race or any other people have been given besides humanity. And so, as we always say here in Cape Town, it's really true. Salah is what? Is the Isra of the believer. Is the Mi'raj or the Isra of the believer. That is you and my journey to Allah 5 times a day. And so Allah says, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That if you want to know where I am, I'm very close to all of you. I'm not far away in some distant high above the samawat. I'm very close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةُ الدَّعِي ذَا دَعَانٍ. And I answer you when you call out to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So answer me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشِدُونَ. And so, make dua to me and so that you may be successful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. We ask that one day, and I end off with this, every one of us will take this journey. When? When you die. When you die, the angel of death will pull our souls and the angels will take our souls up the samawat. If we are good people, the doors of the heavens will be opened up. May Allah grant all of us to ascend to the highest level. And if we're not so good, it will be said, no one in the Sama wants to see this person. Send them back to the earth. But may it be that we be of those that when our souls are pulled, Allah and the angels and all of creation is excited to meet us. Ya Allah, grant that for us. Ameen. And grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Wa sallallahu Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Any announcements? No? Oh yeah, we've got some time before Isha. Any Q&A? Any questions? Well, even shy before a question. Sisters, any questions? Yes? Excellent, very good question. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was around 50, 51 years old. It was about 10 years after he became a Nabi at 40, but 10 years later, he was very, very sad. And then Allah took him on this amazing journey. He was 51 years old, 52 years old, when Allah had taken the Prophet on this amazing journey. Good question. Anyone else? No questions. Understood? Ah, that's an excellent question. So someone might ask, all these planets, all these places, are they aliens? Who thinks they are aliens? Yes or no? You think they are aliens? MashaAllah. Yes. So, in the Quran, Allah mentions that Allah created seven heavens and the daba and the creatures that He scattered throughout them. Already in this Isra and the Mi'raj, there was an alien. Technically, Jibreel is an alien. The Buraq is an alien. These are things that exist outside of our world. But the beautiful thing in the Quran, Allah says, throughout the heavens, He scattered a lot of living creatures. And all of this, what is the purpose of it? Why did Allah create all of these things? Just to worship Him and draw closer to Him. To glorify Him. Allah says in the Quran, there is not a plant or a tree or a grain of sand or a drop of water or an atom except that it makes tasbih of Allah. But we do not understand their form of tasbih. And all of the creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, they worship Allah completely and perfectly. In Surah Rahman, Allah says, وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ. The stars and the trees make sujood. That's amazing, that's fantastic. But what's more amazing is that you and me, those creatures don't have a choice. The sun, the moon, the stars, Jibreel, they worship Allah because they have to. Because they are coded, that's in their DNA. They can't disobey. But us, we choose to worship Allah. We choose to make salah. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you chose to be here in the masjid. Allah called you, hayya ala salah, and you responded, I am here, takbir, I'm coming, ya Allah, labbaik Allah. That is what makes this creation, what makes you and me, inshallah, very special and the closest creature to Allah. Remember at the beginning of creation, Allah made the angels and the jinn and all these planets and stars and all of creation bow before Adam. If we are true to our promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other questions? Yes, there are angels out there. And so, you know, they say, as the ulama mentioned, if you can't find love in this world, perhaps your soulmate is on another planet, inshallah. For those of you who are single, don't lose hope. She's out there somewhere. Any other questions, sisters? Any other questions, brothers? Yes? Oh, the deep question. Okay, so the brother mentions, in the Quran, Allah speaks about His face. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. This is in Surah Rahman. كُلُّ مَنْ أَلَيْهَا فَانِ. All of creation will come to an end, will die. Everyone will die. وَيَبْقَى. And the only thing that will remain is the face of Allah. And Allah mentions in the Quran to Iblis, O Iblis, why do you not make sujood? بِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. Why don't you make sujood to the one I created with my two hands? How do we understand this? Does Allah have a face? Does He have hands? On the day, in the Quran, Allah says that on that day, the saq, the shin of Allah will be exposed, will be shown, and they will make sujood to the shin of Allah. What is this? Is this literally a shin of Allah? So there are two views. Some scholars have said that this is metaphorical. When Allah speaks about the hand of Allah, it means the power of Allah. When He says that He ascends, He rises up, that it means He took control of the universe. And others have said, no, Allah does not speak in riddles. He is clear that Allah has a hand or hands, and He has a face, but we cannot imagine the physical attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we affirm what He affirmed for Himself. He affirmed that He speaks, and that some of these angels and His anbiya heard Him speak, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam with his own hands, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nur which emanates. So those things is what is in the Quran. And inshallah, when we get there, and if you meet Allah, this is the height of creation. The height of the reward of Jannah is you'll get to see Allah. So yes, there is a physical form to Allah, but we can only see that on Fridays in Jannatul Firdaus. When even that veil that Nabi Sallam could not see beyond, even Nabi Sallam couldn't get there. Only in Jannah, the people of Jannah, that veil will be removed and we'll get to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May that be all of us. Ameen. Ameen. Any last questions before? Yes? That's an incorrect hadith. It's not. So there's a very famous story that when the Nabi met Allah, he said, "Ashhadu an la at-tahiyatu wa barakatuh salawat taibatu lillah. Assalamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi." Allah responded, "And salam to you, O Nabi." This is an incorrect narration. The tashahud that we have in Salah, the Prophet ﷺ taught us, and this is what we say in Salah, but it was not said at the Isra and the Mi'raj. That's not the dialogue between us. In fact, though, the dialogue that we do know in Salah is Surah Fatiha. There's a hadith that says, when we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds, my creation has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and they've magnified me. Maliki Yawmiddin, and they've glorified me. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And then Allah says, this is my link with them. They say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Oh Allah, you alone I worship, and you alone do I need. So Allah says, they affirm that this is the agreement. I am their Lord and they are my servant. So what do you want? Then you say, إِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. So Allah says, now I need to give you what you asked me. This is the conversation that you and I have with Allah every time in Salah we recite Surah Fatiha. This is in Sahih Bukhari. SubhanAllah. So, even though we can't hear Allah, but He responds to you and me when we speak to Him. Shukran. Any last questions? Anyone else? Yes? So it's a deep question around free will and destiny. The plan was always going to be 5. But if Allah said, yeah, take 5, and the Nabi Muhammad just left, how beautiful is it that I made 50 and I reduced it to 5? In that, you learn who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In that, you learn, if you can even ask Him, ya Allah, 50 is too much, I want less. There's no problem, I'll give you less. Then I'll give you the reward of 50. So the plan was always, it's going only going to be 5. He was never going to burden the ummah with 50. But he wanted to show who He is as Allah. His mercy and His kindness to the ummah. And to show that if you can ask Him something which we would not imagine you could ask. Nabi Musa is teaching the Nabi Sallam, ask Allah anything. Ask Allah whatever you want. And you'll find your Lord generous. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. He will be generous and He will respond to you. Yes, in free will and destiny, Allah knows everything, subhanAllah. Whatever happens is by the command and the decree of Allah. There is no need for, so why do we even make salah if Allah knows who's going to Jannah and Jahannam? That's a discussion for another night, inshallah. That's a big discussion. Everything Allah knows, but we also have free will and we have choice and Allah will reward us based on that, inshallah. Ubaid? YouTube question, chatbot. Are there any recommended nafil salah or rituals or du'as for tonight? No. There's nothing special or significant. And again, this is culture and I watch my words. This is not a practice which the Nabi Sallam did. He did not call the Sahaba together on the night of the Isra and the Mi'raj. They did not have a lecture or bayan. But alhamdulillah, it is part of the culture. And the real reason why do we get here is to get us in the Ramadan mode. It's to remind us that this month of Ramadan is coming. And that it is a month where the doors of all the samawat are open, that the rewards of Jannah are available. Whoever wants to get there and gets there can attain Jannatul Firdaus in this 1 month. You have 60, 70 years of messed up life. Allah forgive us. One Ramadan can fix all of it. One Ramadan can get you to Jannah. This whole journey, just one day in Ramadan, can get you there if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for it. And so this is just one of that milestones, guys. We've got 1 month to Ramadan, and then the 15th of Shaban comes. Guys, we've got 2 weeks to go. So just a reminder for that. But so, answer, no, nothing special or significant to recite tonight, besides the normal adhkar and the normal salahs and the salawat, whatever Quran you want to make, recite, or tahajjud, it's fine. But nothing specific for the night of Isra and the Mi'raj. We don't even know if this is the night the Nabi Sallam ascended. We don't even know that. Allah alam, Allah knows best. Yes, sir. Is there any significance to fast on the Isra and the Mi'raj? We shouldn't designate a ritual for this night. This day, or this the night of the Isra and the Mi'raj, the 27th of Rajab, does not have a special significance. There's no extra reward. In fact, if you were going to fast, you shouldn't fast Friday only. Thursday would be better for you to fast, or Monday would be better for you to fast. But to fast Saturday for the Isra and the Mi'raj, you get more rewards on Monday, because that is Sunnah. No more questions? Okay, so it's Isha'i. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to attain Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah forgive our sins and grant us to achieve Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us when we pass away, that He is happy to meet us and that we ascend this place. And we make dua for all those of our loved ones who are in the qabr, that they experience this amazing journey every time when they ascend to Allah. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No, Noor outside, just in the masjid.